third time series on prayer. Text is still from the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 to 19. Verses 1 to 19. It's a long verses, long text. I'll be reading from verse 3, starting verse 3. And then we'll stop verse 19. Before we read the text, let's pray. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us before you at this place. It's wonderful to be with our family members, to worship you, to be reminded of your love and grace again, to refocus our hearts onto you, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we are learning about prayer, although we cannot describe, we cannot explain the power of a prayer, or we cannot define the meaning of prayer at all. We want to learn how people in the Old Testament prayed, and we want to learn something from them. Also, we want to see in our prayer life how we can glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, as we are opening this text, Daniel chapter 9, bless our hearts, bless my lips, so that we all bring our hearts to our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Daniel's prayer, we want to give our hearts and we want to see our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, bless our very moment. We pray your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read a verse 3 from verse 3, and we will stop in verse 19. Still, we have lots of verses to cover today. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with a fasting and a sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made a confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, that we have sinned and done wrong, acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants and prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame, as at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away. In all the lands to which we have driven them because of the treachery that they have committed against you, to us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, refusing to obey your voice, and the curse and the oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us. Because we have sinned against him, he has confirmed his words, which he spoke through us and against our rulers and ruled us, by bringing upon us a great calamity. For under the whole heaven and there has not been done anything like what has been done against Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept ready the calamity and has brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works that he has done, and we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy hill, for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now, therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy and for your own sake. O Lord, may your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear and open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. This is the word of God. I feel that it is necessary for us to review previous messages over the 2 weeks on prayer and simply asking, what is prayer? Beginning with this question, what is prayer? Now, as I prayed in my prayer, we cannot summarize, we cannot define the meaning of prayer because it's so vast and great and so many things that we can say about it. But St. Augustine says that a prayer is through everything dependent on God. So he's asking God's lead and pouring our hearts to God. And I mentioned a couple of times throughout 2 weeks, John Calvin mentioned that prayer is the chief, main exercise of faith. So we need to pray. And also I recommended you, if you want, you can buy a book written by Tim Keller, Prayer. And he says very interesting words and using... using someone else's term, he said, prayer is an intelligent mysticism. I think that is right. And he explains that means an encounter with God that involves not only the affection of the heart, but also the conviction of the mind. So it's an intelligent mysticism. So prayer is really, it's a big theme. Over the 2 weeks, we look at the text, Hannah's prayer from 1 Samuel chapter 2, and in her prayer during her troubled time, a troubled heart. She didn't have a child, and there's no hope and no vision, no future. And then we see the prayer of her commitment. She committed herself, and she didn't go to a way that she can solve the problem by herself, but she came to God. And also, she kept her vow to the Lord. We look at that from her prayer. Also from her prayer, we learn about prayer of faith. She declared that God is, there's none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. And there is no rock like our God. Such an amazing statement that we learn from her confession. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. God does everything. The Lord will guard the feet of His faithful ones. That's what God is doing right now. The Lord will judge the end of the earth. So we see how she learned about God through her prayer. Last week we looked at the David's prayer based on 2 Samuel chapter 7. It was a prayer of praise and gratitude and humble and humility. He started with the question, who am I? Who am I? And also he praised God in verse 26 last week. Your name will be magnified forever. And comparing himself and God's blessing, he was amazed by God's love and grace. Now his prayer was also prayer of a faith. Like Hannah, he said that you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you and there is no God besides you. He also declared that God is only one God who controls the world, the sovereign God. Also, David's prayer was prayer of a petition, especially based on God's words. That was very interesting. He picked word like a forever, and he used that word to pray to God. And also, verse 28, he said, your words are true. So he mentioned that God's words are true. And also, he prayed that, with your blessings shall the house of your servants be blessed forever. He used the word forever. So those two prayers we looked at last week. Today is Daniel's prayer. Now, before jumping into Daniel's prayer, we need to know what happened to him. Now, historical background is like this. It is necessary for us to know what happened to him and his time. That is written actually 9 verses 1 and 2 that I skipped reading today. Especially in verse 2, it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived the books, the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So he packed everything what happened to him. As he studied, he said he studied the word of God, reflect on the word of God. He understood the meaning of the word and God's will. That's why he said perceived. Here, literally, according to the here he said, according to the word of the Lord Jeremiah the prophet, that must have passed before the ends of the desolation of the Jerusalem. He's waiting for God's time. That means here, desolation. He used that the plural words to express that how God's punishment was severe and it's almost done. And God's judgment here and will be with His people until God's time. He's using that in His prayer. And also Jeremiah prophesies using Jeremiah's prophecy. And Jeremiah prophesies in Jeremiah chapter 25 and 29 that Judah will go into captivity to Babylon for 70 years. So we know that what happened to the Daniel was he studied what Jeremiah said. And then he figured that, oh, it's almost done. In Jeremiah 25:11, this whole land shall become a ruin and a waste, and this nation shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So, calculating years, timetable in chapter 9. The people of God were taken to Babylon, believe that 605 B.C., when Daniel was a young teenager. Some scholars said that probably 15. And Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon at the time. Now, later on, Cyrus, king of Persia, issued the decree of releasing Judah. That was 537 BC. Interestingly, that happened is written in the book of Ezra, not in Daniel. Ezra 1 and 2, thus says the Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord. It's very interesting. And a pagan king is declaring that the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. We say that we are a Christian country. We don't hear from our leaders that. But a pagan king said, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth. And he said, whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem. That means go, you go home, which is in Judah. And he said, rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. So all these things happen in Daniel's time. The timeline of Daniel's life in chapter 9 is about almost finishing his 70 years after the first captivity is happening. So our text clearly shows that as Daniel studied the word of God through the prophet Jeremiah's words, our text that he perceived, that means understand, he came to understand the meaning of 70 years, the meaning of God's return, restoration. So when he understood, you know what he did? That's kind of fascinating. Daniel came to the Lord and he began to pray. And his prayer starts in verse 3. That's what we read today. In verse 3, when he understood the word of God, whoa, this is God's word. Yeah, I'm sure that God will fulfill his promise. Then, verse 3, then I turned my face to the Lord. That's what he did. I turned my face to the Lord and seeking him by prayer and pleas. And for mercy with a fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So lots of things in verse 3. In verse 3 teaches us many things about a prayer from Daniel's practice. The first thing that we can bring is He said, I turned my face. That's our ESV. That means literally, I gave my face. That means in the Old Testament, this word is used when a person gives something to somebody and to others. Here Daniel expressed that he gave something to God. He gave his heart. He gave his prayers. He gave his request to the Lord. And nothing behind. Nothing holding in his heart. These things, God, you can do, but these things I can do, I'm able to manage. Not that way. He gave everything to the God, a report to God, and speak to God. It reminds us of what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. Do not worry about anything, brothers, sisters, just pray. Then God will give you peace and he will protect you. So as Daniel turned his face toward God, there are things that he did. He also seeking God. Simply, we can understand he was seeking God's will and plan for his people. It's prayer of finding, not my plan, finding God's will. So there is a secret that we can learn. Prayer is not about bringing my plan to God. This is my master plan. God, would you please hit here and come here and you just get rid of all the things and you know, I don't need you. That's not the prayer. Prayer is about seeking God and his plan for us. By doing that in second, there is some actions with his prayer, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now we know that sackcloth and ashes were expression of humility and repent of sins. So we can see what Daniel is trying to do. His action was as repenting of his sins. And all these things like the sackcloth and ashes usually comes with fasting based on Esther chapter 4. Here we see that Daniel is trying to repent of his own sins and the sins of his people that he remembered against God. Here from his prayer in verse 3, connection with other verses, one thing is really sure. Daniel took the word of God very seriously. I don't know how many people read the book of the word of God that the prophet Jeremiah said. But Daniel took the word of God very seriously. And with God's words and his promises, he didn't want to wait, but he came to God and prayed to God. Now, his prayer, starting from 3, but just skip the 3, to verse 4 and until 19, we can divide it maybe 3 different parts. Verse 4 will be like an adoration, and verse 5 through 15 is all about confession of sins. Some words are repeating. In verse 16 and 19, Zar petition, asking God's answer. What about verse 4? Here, Daniel's prayer begins with praising God and adoration in verse 4. He says, O Lord, the great and awesome God. And in Hebrew, Daniel said, O my God. And he confessed here, saying, by my God, and his relationship with God, covenant God, and his God is not just someone else's God. His God is my God, and his God is, he said, great and awesome. Now here Daniel recalled God's mighty works and deeds that he did to the Israelites. In Exodus chapter 20:2, God said, I am the Lord your God, and who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Don't you remember me? Daniel remembered what God has done for his people, departed the Red Sea, and then God gave them manna and quails and provided them water and protect them from them through the desert and providing them pillar of clouds and fires. So that is great things that Daniel remembered. And the word awesome here comes from the Hebrew word to fear. The old works of God that Daniel said, it got great, his mighty work for his people, surely brought him like a fear and honor and to Daniel. So Daniel here praised God, his greatness of his work in his prayer, what God has done for the people of God. It's a very simple prayer, but he gets everything. Oh Lord, my God, you're great, great, awesome God. So also here, Daniel in chapter 9 and verse 4, he praised the God of covenant. The covenant keeper in verse 4, he says, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and then keep his commandments. Now here Daniel praises God's faithfulness to his people. And Daniel praises God's covenant love for his people. And Daniel praises for God's love, his grace for the chosen people. That's why he said, keeps covenant, steadfast love. Reminds me of God. God, you are the one who will keep your promises. His prayer gives us a great lesson today. We begin our prayer with praise and adoration in our daily prayer practice. We pray based on God's faithfulness, based on his grace and love for us, not based on our action. That we can confess that our God, he is the great and awesome God. And he moves in verse 5 and 15, and Daniel's prayer is about confession of sins. Now, verses 5 and 15, many words are repeated in his prayer, like, we have sinned against you. And verse 5 and 7, 8, 9, 11, he said, all Israel has transgressed your law. So he's repeating all these things. And verse 4 and 9, the word wicked and rebel against God. So other later on, he said, not listened and not obeyed. He's repeating some words. Now, in these verses 5 and 15, we see that Daniel was pouring his heart by repeating some words, pouring his heart to the Lord through his confession of sins and the sins of his brothers and sisters and sins of the Israelites. The interesting thing is in verse 5, somehow he has categorized the meaning of, he's trying to explain the meaning of sins, verse 5 and 6. Six interesting phrases. Verse 5, he said, we have sinned. So we got in big trouble. He repeated again, verse 5, we have done wrong. And verse 5, we have been wicked. And verse 5, we have rebelled against you, definitely. And verse 5, we have turned away. That's in Hebrew form is infinitive, but we have turned away. We can translate like that. In verse 6, and we have not listened to your servants, the prophets. So all kinds of action he's describing that we have committed all kinds of sins. So he brought the sins of his people before God. And basically he's saying that we have sinned against you, Lord. The meaning of sin, we know that is missing the target, missing God's teaching and God's law. So we always missed your teaching. Then you're saying that we have done so many things wrong, horrible things before you, Lord. Done wrong means literally to bend and twist. We know your word, your teaching. Well, we love to bend it. Okay, we can go this far. Even he said, we have rebelled against you. We don't like your teaching. We go a different way. That's why he said, we have turned away from your teaching and your law. Going to the opposite direction like Jonah in the Bible. Even ignoring God's teaching, the word of God, his commandments, his laws. Even more, he said, they, means God's people, they refuse to listen to God's servants and prophets. If you read the Old Testament, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, it's all about refusing God's prophets. One example is probably 1 Kings and 2 22. It's about King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat. Now, King Ahab of Israel, which is the northern side, and King Jehoshaphat, which is the south, Judah, were about to, you know, they were ready to attack Ramoth Gilead to take their possession. Here, the southern kingdom, Jehoshaphat, said he wanted to know God's will first before their action. So he asked King Ahab, which is a wicked king, and we need to call our prophets and we need to listen from them. So Ahab called prophets about 400 people. When you read it, 1 Kings 22, you will laugh and laugh. He called 400 false prophets. They're saying, let's go. God will give you win. You know, you will conquer them. Here, Jehoshaphat wondered, is there any more prophet in your country? So then Ahab said, this is from the Bible, 1 Kings 22, verse 8. This is what he said, dramatized. Yes, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imnah. But I hate him. But I hate him. Why? For he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil. That's kind of attitude all the kings of the northern side. When God sent all the prophets, they hear something. If they don't like it, they just ignore them. They never prophesy good concerning about me. So I don't want to hear that. Eventually, King Ahab was killed. God had sent his prophets and servants to proclaim his words, to proclaim God's teaching, asking their repentance of their sins. But as Daniel prayed, they refused to listen to God's servants and prophets. They did not listen to God's voice at all. And in verses 7 and 8, Daniel summarized their actions like this. Verse 7, to us, because of our all kinds of sins, to us, open shame, as at this day until today. Verse 8, once again, to us, O Lord, belongs open shame. To our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. And in verse 7, he says, because of the treachery that they have committed against you. But let's stop here and think about this question. What about us? And I want to bring this question. What about our nation? If we're in Daniel's situation praying for his people, what about our nation? A little bit narrowing down, what about our church? What about churches in the United States? Maybe we're not committing any serious sins like the Israelites that Daniel said in our text. But Daniel's prayer should help us to remember one thing. We need to confess our sins. Confession of sins should be in our prayer life. We ask God's mercy and grace. Now, if we read what Daniel said in verse 5 and 6 and 7, 8 and 12 and 14, all the list of sins, what he said, it seems that there is no hope. That's right, no hope, because they screwed up. There is no hope at all for God's people. Rather, there will be God's judgment and punishment for their sins. And it is true that Israel's shame and their suffering were the result of their sins. That's what Daniel said. And their disgrace and destruction of their nation came upon them because of their sins. And then Daniel prayed, as at this day, until today, we have suffered for our sins. So if we're looking at that side, wow, it's no good. There's no hope. But however, the reason for God's judgment, if we think of the reason for God's judgment, a great calamity upon his people, it's not that completely destroy them. It's not that reason, but rather it is a way. His judgment is a way that God has to fulfill his words. And in verse 12, Daniel said, "He has confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our rulers who ruled us by bringing upon us a great calamity." So he's helping us to see that all the judgment and punishments, those are actually good things because they help us to see how God is a great God and help us to remember God's mercy and grace again. By telling all these kind of sins, at the same time, Daniel brings up not only God's judgment, but also God's mercy and grace while all his brothers, sisters, and nation were still in suffer. They were suffering. In verse 9, he said, "To the Lord our God," because what? "Belong mercy and forgiveness." Lord, this is what happened because we committed sins, all the sins, blah, 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 six sins. But we remember you because you are merciful God, belonging mercy and forgiveness in verse 9. That's the beauty of reading Daniel's prayer. In Hebrew, mercy and forgiveness are plural forms. That's kind of awkward. But here, Daniel was emphasizing the greatness of God, his mercy and compassion as his forgiveness. So he put it in plural form. Yes, sins are great. My sins are great and your sins are great. You know what? God's grace is greater than sins of the world because God belongs mercy and forgiveness. The beauty of reading Daniel's prayer is that we need to read verse 9 and verse 4 together. Since God is the one who keeps covenant, not us. He's the one who will keep the covenant, who shows his steadfast love toward us. Therefore, God will surely show his mercy and grace and compassion to his people. God will surely forgive the sins of his people. In 1 John in chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, forgive us in our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Probably we can say like Daniel today before God about private prayer, and we have sinned, Lord. We have done so many things wrong, Lord. And we have acted like wicked people and rebelled against you. And we're turning away and turning aside from your commandments. Oh, we have not listened to your teachings. We are horrible sinners before you. We can say that, yet have to remember that we have his promise. His promise of grace upon grace in Christ. So this is a great time to us to be reminded of God's grace. Come and confess your sins, your horrible sins, my horrible sins, and nasty and filthy sins, because God will forgive our sins in Christ. That means not recommending you and me, but saying that we are free, that we can commit sin all the time and coming back and say, Lord, forgive us. Not that way. Rather, it teaches us the greatness of God's grace. We're not living in this world according to sinful nature, our desire, but according to God's grace and his mercy in Christ. Now, Daniel's prayer moves on in petition in 16 and in verse and 18. He says, "O God, our God, listen to the prayer," in verse 17. And later on, he says, "Make your face to shine upon your sanctuary." And verse 18, "Oh God, incline your ear and hear." And once again he said, "Open your eyes and see." The most powerful prayer is found in verse 18. "For we do not present our pleas before your because of our righteousness." It's not about us. But Daniel said, "But because of your great mercy." So, verse 16, I'm going to read the 16 later here. Daniel said, O Lord, according to all your righteous act, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy hill. Daniel gives us a really great example how we should pray for our nation. Daniel's humble and fervent prayer reminds us of God's mercy and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he prayed, we are sinners before God. Our sins make our lives horrible and nasty and disgusting. We definitely feel we are doomed and we're punished. But we know that there is the true hope. That is Christ. As Daniel prayed, God will help us. Our God is the God of righteousness, and He is the one, the God of mercy and grace. He keeps His promises and covenants with His people. Practically speaking, Daniel's prayer and his petition that we just read, verses 16 through 18, for his people Israel, reminds us of our nation. All six phrases that we looked at today actually happening right now in our nation. We have sinned, done wrong things, we don't know where we are going, and acted wickedly. We hear many news, rebelled against God, and turning aside from your commandments and rules. And we have not listened to your servants, the prophets. These things are happening in this nation. And Daniel says in verse 19, therefore, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act and delay not for your own sake, O my God, because of your city and your people are called by your name. Whatever we hear and we see every day around us, things that make us really disgusting and make us feel uncomfortable and annoyed by all things, annoyed by the leaders of our nation. What shall we do? Daniel's prayer, he shows us a great example to the 21st century Christians. Daniel's prayer is a wake-up call for us, for the Christians in this world. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the leaders of our nation. We need to pray for the repentance of our sins before God. We need to pray for the forgiveness of the sins of our nation. We need to pray for the power of God's grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, be heard to the people of our nation. This is time for us to pray. We need to pray for our people, brothers and sisters at New Hope Church. So these things are when learning from Daniel's prayer. I'm going to finish my sermon by reading a poem. I don't know if you know this or not, but I found this poem written by somebody. I guess this is written in different language and translated into English. This is a kind of prayer. As the mist come rolling in, like a morning time you have a fog around you can see, and my faith begins to tremble and shake because we are not sure what's coming next. Then it says, then I come before the Lord my God. Why? Like a mountain is the Lord, unmoving eternally He stands. So I will lift up my eyes and see His faithful love for me. The Lord God is my help and my strength. The Lord's plans are eternally true. Before His majesty, I submit in faithful trust and worship His name. As the mist come rolling in, and my faith begins to tremble and shake, I come before the Lord my God, because like a mountain is the Lord. We need to pray for our nation, although we don't see clearly. We need to pray for our church, although we don't see clearly. Prayer is first thing that we have to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Daniel's prayer, praying for his nation and his people. And help us to remember what he said in Daniel chapter 9. And help us to practice that we have learned today. Bless our congregation. Even we pray for our nation. Lord, give us the leader that you are planning to use and you're planning to anoint so that this nation will be used by you again for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray all these things, your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen.